Hey, you are listening to The Morning Show here on Raglan Community Radio. That was Stan Walker with He Kākano Aho, and that's our chosen introduction to the Kairongoa segment with Ngaranoa. Good morning.
Hi, atamari e koutou mā. Kānui te mihi atu ki a koutou, e noho mai nei i runga i roto i o koutou kāinga. Ko ngaro no Renata Tōku Ingoa, kei te noho au i raro i te maunga tapu o Kareoi. Ai, kānui te mihi atu ki tau a maunga hoki. Ai, tēnā koutou.
And so today, what are we going to be talking about today?
I was inspired to bring forward the kaupapa. It's called Hua Para Kure. It's about it was an initiative back in probably in the 80s, came forward. My awareness was brought to this kaupapa in the mid-90s while I was developing organic community gardens within the Melville community in Kirikiri Roa. And a person called Tipene, Percy Tipene visited at that time and spoke about this initiative and the urgency of this initiative around food sovereignty.
Yeah.
So one of the key elements that he spoke about was how the Gregorian calendar, on which many of us just automatically base our lives, which is the Monday or the Sunday to Saturday timetabling, had actually mucked up everything to do with the natural environmental signs that were right there available to us to use as part of our knowing, rather than relying on this. Well, it was part of colonization. The Gregorian calendar was imported to basically so that we would dismiss any natural cycles that we had within our ancestral teachings, and we would defer to this. Simple things like I'll plant on Wednesday because it's convenient because I'm not working. But basically the work week, the industrialization of the Western industrialization of Indigenous people actually really threw out totally paying any attention to taiao and to natural cycles and seasons.
Mm.
And claimed it in a very different way of operating that has been extraordinarily disruptive to our practices.
So what was coming from?
So this was to reestablish that there was actually all these signs within a marama called a maramataka, the moon and the sun, which are part of our natural world, te ao hurihuri, and for us to begin to really understand how they impacted on the growing of community gardens. Now, the word community doesn't really convey. These gardens were really whānau-based, so they were based on whānau groupings. Actually, that was the place where you met to kōrero. It wasn't only to do with digging and weeding and making mounds and creating growing seedlings. It was about the connection to each other, and it was intergenerational. We've completely thrown that out. It's become a rare opportunity and occasion when you see that actually operating in the back garden. It's just not there. It was an initiative to reignite our ancestral knowledge around horticulture. It had nothing to do with permaculture. Permaculture came later. Indigenous practices had been practiced for thousands of years based on many, many signs within the natural taiao environment. That's the word that we use, taiao, but it's an extensive pūtaiao, scientific knowledge. Those foods, the foods that we're actually growing to, we call them now indigenous kai, and they've become so rare because of our international diet. We eat a food from many countries of the world. Our palate has completely been transmuted.
It's been trained or retrained. Trained from birth, really, now, isn't it?
Yeah, pre-birth. Babies. Our babies clay.
Trained from conception.
Yeah, yeah. So we've actually introduced so many foods from other lands, which means literally they have the soil from those lands. Now, you can talk to anybody in permaculture and anyone and to do with bioscience and that knowledge, and now they will tell you quite clear language that it is best to have food that is grown closer to the environment in which you live. So we're importing a lot of food. We've been doing that for some time from other countries. That food, and this might not mean very much to anybody, but it does to me, they're not only out of season when we are eating them, because they're like, oh, how come we've got watermelons in the middle of winter? You know, so the seasons are not familiar to us.
I bumped the keyboard accidentally, and it started. I'm going to move over to there, so then we can't do that again. Sorry, that was very rude. Rudely interrupted. So you don't mind an imported food grown here so much? Like the seed is imported, and then you grow it here.
No, I would prefer that we actually continue to maintain an integrity around our seed banks. We call them seed banks, which are places where we gather the seeds from the soil of the local area. And that because they actually have whakapapa. They not only have whakapapa, genealogy, to the soil here, they're actually the strongest seeds for us to grow. They maintain a particular rhythm that you won't get from a seed that's brought.
Yeah, okay. So I was trying to say, just like watermelons, we've been growing watermelons for a long time, but that was originally imported. The seed was imported, 200 years ago or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, the import...
But then it's been grown here and it's adapted to our soil, I guess, if we keep growing.
Absolutely.
And saving seeds each year.
Oh, I mean, I love watermelon. But the original food, what we call indigenous kai, was actually more suitable for our palate. So many of the, I'm going to make a claim here, many of the digestive conditions that we have within our communities to do with our well-being, I said that very carefully, are actually related to because of the type of foods that we are eating that are not, there's many reasons. First of all, they're not grown locally. They're not organic. They're contaminated. And they're not suitable for our makeup, for our bodies. Indigenous kai claims that, and you know, I can substantiate this because you go into the islands and what do they eat? People go, oh, they eat taro. Well, if you go into actually the science of taro, it's an incredible food. And there are different types of taro grown throughout the Pacific. That was one of our key foods. Kumara was definitely a top priority to be grown. It's rare. It's very rare to have that in the back garden.
I don't know the answer to this question. Where did kumara come from? Because Maori came here. I presume they didn't discover kumara here. They brought it
South
with
America.
Them.
South American. Okay. Oh, no, sorry. Sorry, I'm talking about riwai. Tawa. Taiwa and riwai, which are Maori potatoes. It's a funny name, isn't it? Maori potatoes. Is a generic term for many varieties. They came from South America.
Right, okay.
From Peru. So when we travelled down, we got them through there and Rapa Nui, Easter Island. Picked them up because we thought they were cool. Cool food.
Turned out to be very important, especially here in this climate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's an amazing food, the Māori potatoes. The one that we generally defer to, I think it's of Irish origins. It's Irish.
Oh, okay.
This Ireland.
This is something I know. I don't know much about. So we've been talking about Hua Parakore. Do you want to just recap a little bit about them?
The term Hua Parakore is used by Te Waka Kai Ora to describe the production of food that is pure and uncontaminated. Similar to the term organic, that is used to describe food that is produced using natural fertilizers and non-chemical means of pest control. The probably the main difference between those practices that I have observed is the other tikanga surrounding the growing of kai in a mara kai. And those things are the things like whakawhanaungatanga, karakia. There was always karakia when you were growing kai. There was always an honouring of those of te ao. So you never did, you know, you moved in synchronicity with an acknowledgement of higher beings who were responsible for caring for the land as well. And that was extremely important. The different practices around curing of food, kai, they are within the permaculture world, but they were established thousands of years ago within Te Ao Māori through pātaka, through the way that we, when we harvested, how we laid the crop and chose the seeds for the next year, you know, which ones from that crop would be put away to serve as the next seed bank for the following year. So it was also to ensure that some of these crops like corn, kānga, which is all indigenous people have different kānga. That was one of the foods that was grown extensively throughout the world by indigenous people for kai. I remember it as a child. It's delicious. I remember it clearly. So the different varieties were grown in different iwi as well. Kumara has, there is a story associated with kumara, which is, you know, that gives it its mana, why it's so important to continue to mound the earth in a certain manner and then to actually have a tapapa kumara, which is a place where you prepare the seedlings that for the main mara kai. Puha is native to Aotearoa New Zealand. It's called sour thistle. It's probably the very first thing you pull out of your garden. Well, I'm going to sow a seed, and the seed looks like this. That kai you will find in the next 5-10 years will become a staple part of our diet and be known as New Zealand spirulina. It has so many amazing nutrients, and we actually defer to dandelion. That's the one that we eat as what we called foraging, right? People know dandelion. They don't know puha.
Māori people know puha. And we're all people who own. I know that, like, my father-in-law's farm, this is 20 years ago now, because he's retired, retired a long time, but local Māori people, this is up north, used to come and say, can we come and get some puha from the waterways?
Absolutely.
And he'd be like, yeah, go for it. Right.
It had such significance, nutrition, we would literally walk miles for it, or kilometres.
A long way. Either way, it's a long way.
And we also kept an eye on where it was grown. They were usually in the far north around orchards. So we also were aware, we would ask whether they had used sprays in the orchards as the orchards developed. And the puha was just the most important. There was nothing more important than going out and picking puha.
Why am I in my mind associating it with waterways like little creeks and things? Is that relevant, or is it just something I've picked up randomly that's probably not very accurate?
It's generally associated with that environment, but that's really more taro. Taro really grows along those embankments of small waterways. Puha is found in many gardens, and it definitely is not valued. I've seen it. I've seen people clean it out, and I just go, oh, they don't.
Well,
know.
If you can't buy it from a shop and with a seed and a pretty label, that rules out the majority of our population recognising it as a viable food source.
And that's a really good point, actually, that you've raised about the way we turn towards the Māra Kai was our supermarket. It was our seasonal supermarket. So it was our countdown. It was where we went to get to feed our families. We didn't go to the shop to buy these foods.
Can you give us a good explanation of what Māra Kai means?
So Māra is a place that's designated for the growing within your where you're living, and there'll be a rotational system.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
Where food is not, you know, you don't grow kumara in the same garden bed or māra each year. You rotate, so there's that rotation of the cropping. And it's specifically to do with kai, so it's usually quite large, but it's not for one household. They were generally serving several households. Mm. We've lost that too. We're losing that. I have a sense of urgency about we're not meeting in the Māra Kai. As we have community gardens, that's a bit different. That's because they grow flowers and things as well. I'm not saying they're not important. I'm not saying that at all. But primarily, it was to serve a family, a large grouping of people,
like an extended family, perhaps. Yeah.
And there were many things that would be taught from that experience, how to. Stories were told. The elders would be sharing stories. When do they do that? When do people do that? Sit with their elders?
There's TikToks for stories.
Yeah.
I'm being provocative.
No, yeah, exactly.
But it's kind of true.
And so you don't know how they are. You don't know how your elders are because you never see them, because you never spend time with them. You're not in the Māra Kai. You're not helping them carry food off the garden or planting. You don't see how they actually physically do it because you're not there. We're not there. And it brings my awareness back to that way of actually seeing each other, kanohi ki te kanohi, face to face, and doing something really meaningful with our time.
So you've been talking about hua parakore. Is there a way people can find, if they want to get in touch with this or find out more about this group / organisation? I don't quite know how to describe them.
Yeah, I guess so. I think that to be fair, we are also within we are part of a food security development within Whangaroa, which to me speaks of many of these rhythms and re-energizing them within our community. That would be it's a someone has gifted some land. It's under an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding.
Yeah.
So there is some reality to going forward. Hua parakore, how do you... You just need to contact me and I'll talk to you about that then.
Okay, all right, we'll leave it at that. Now, you wanted to talk about something else too, blended teas.
We've got
time.
We've got 5 minutes.
We can do that because I messed up the next interview, so we've got lots of time.
Yeah, I've got to actually go to.
Okay, all right, well, let's just quickly go through. I've just written a note, blended teas, so what was that we were going
to
talk
about? So I really wanted to bring your attention to some teas which I have been providing as part of my stall at the medicinal tea house stall at the growers market. The inspiration behind the particular teas that I'd chosen were they're from a company, a husband and wife team called Oku Teas,
yeah,
are based in Kirikiriroa. And what they have done is they've put together native plants and non-native to create blends, tea blends. And within those tea blends are particular medicinal elements that are really, it's a way of us taking, well, let tea be your medicine, let medicine be your tea. Mm-hmm. So having a cup of tea and taking the nourishment from these particular ones that they offer. So Circulate, for instance, the tea called that they've named them Circulate, Hōpara, has Kawakawa Horopito, which is a brain and heart tea, and then it has other, I don't know, European, non-Indigenous teas, you know, like
yeah,
hawthorn. This particular one has hawthorn in it, which I can see, and ginkgo, and it's for restoring. It's a restorative heart tea. So it really has to assist with the circulation of the blood. So digest, if this is just another example, so kawakawa once again, and hoheria, which is lace bark, which is a blended tea, and it has peppermint and ginger in it. It's very beneficial to take this particular tea after meals because it's for digestion.
Mm.
But there's lots of them. Well, there's not a lot, but there's a good amount of blended teas that are offered through Oku. There is another Forage and Bloom also do the same.
But people can get these off you Fridays at the growers market?
Yeah, for now. I also have my own teas. I have a particular, you know, I like to kōrero about the blends that I have also myself that I create.
So you've got those also at the growers market?
Yeah.
So it's 5 o'clock. 5 till 7, I think, on Fridays?
5 till 7.
Yeah.
Gone by 7.
Yeah, get in early, folks. I know there's people like waiting, champion at the bit to get in early.
Yes.
And get the best stuff.
Oh, it's
first
fun.
Up.
It's a fun market. It's a very social time.
Yeah.
But its inspiration is really around bringing blended, non-Indigenous and Indigenous teas. Herbs, that's right, that's the word I'm looking for.
And I should say also it's on the lawn between the church and the church hall on Stewart Street. Unless it rains, then you might go in the hall.
It's a great space.
It's a lovely spot, isn't it?
It's a lovely spot. Yeah, we're so grateful.
Yeah, yeah.
That they mow the lawn and keep it so beautifully.
All ready for you to turn up. It's nice to see it. It's nice to see it used in that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Used for all the right reasons and intergenerational.
It's all happening there. Yeah.
It is.
All right, thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And yes, please, if you need to follow up on anything that I have spoken about this morning, happy to talk further.
Can people get in touch with us at the station and I'll put them in touch with you? Is that the
best
way you want to
do that?
Yeah, all right, we'll do that. I'm always hesitant about putting people's phone numbers out on the air, so
that's fine.
Can be the contact.
Aye, kia ora.
All right, thanks for coming in.
Aye. Kia hau maru koutou ma.